This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
You've got to be taught to hate and fear. You've got to be taught from year to year. It's got to be drummed in your dear little ear. You've got to be carefully taught. You've got to be taught to be afraid of people whose eyes are oddly made and people whose skin is a different shade. You've got to be carefully taught. You've got to be taught before it's too late, before you are 6 or 7 or 8, to hate all the people your relatives hate. You've got to be carefully taught. You've got to be carefully taught.
This is just the kind of ugliness I was running away from. It has followed me all this way, all these years. Now it has found me. I was cheated before, and I'm cheated again by a mean little world of mean little men. And the one chance for me is this life I know best, to be here on an island and to hell with the rest. I'll cling to this island like a tree or a stone. I'll cling to this island and be free.
Spend all your time waiting for that second chance, for a break that would make it okay. There's always some reason to feel not good enough, and it's hard at the end of the day. I need some distraction.
Keep on building the lies that you're Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music dear to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Houston, Galveston, and the world. This is the let me check the date, because apparently other people haven't. We call ours. You can't hear me? You're one of the lucky ones. I don't know. I can hear me. Falcon, can you hear me?
Falcon is adjusting the
he's fiddling the with his knobs.
Control, yes.
Ooh.
He's
there we go,
fiddling with the knobs in there.
This is the June... I forgot already. 7th edition of After Hours. Queer Radio with Attitude. I feel like I should be talking with a British accent there, considering...
Yes, it's the first Saturday of the month.
And the second Sunday of the month.
Yes.
So, for those of you who can't keep track...
Yes.
We call ourselves a Saturday show. The show before us calls themselves a Sunday show, and apparently that's why you got BBC World Service.
Yes. Yes. Well, technical difficulties, and that'll get cleared up sometime during the week.
But let the record reflect, I was good there. I made sure I covered over the stuff about who pays for it.
Yes, thank you for that.
That's one of the benefits of sadly being awake at 8:30 in the morning.
Ooh.
So I get to hear the BBC on my way into work.
Oh. Oh.
Which, you know, it's a scary thought. They're listening to the BBC in Tomball, Texas.
Mm.
And so,
You have to do that with your windows wound up, right?
Just the thought of Tomball, Texas at 8:30 in the morning is scary enough.
How was your week?
Sad, depressing, boring.
Oh. Stanley came in tonight.
My condolences.
He'll be here for a whole week.
Only a week?
Only a week. Only a week.
I got so bored I started cleaning.
Oh, my God. I've never been that bored.
Yeah. Actually, I got to call my apartment complex. I don't know what my upstairs neighbors have been doing, but it looks like there's a water stain coming through in the bedroom.
You sure it's water?
Well, I need to take a picture of it because it is the shape of a penis.
Hmm.
Maybe it's a sign.
Well, in any event, it's a sign.
It's about time I get a penis appearing in my bedroom that's not mine. Even if it is a stain on the ceiling.
Oh, well. Oh, well. Oh, well.
No, I'm not that good of a shot.
What have we got tonight? What is tonight? God, this is the first
Saturday.
First show of the month, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that must mean Hatch.
Yay.
Yes, they're here.
Hatch is here. Mm-hmm. And if it's the first show of the month, that means the Colts are here. And
surprisingly on time. And
oh, ouch.
I don't see any bleary eyes over there.
Hmm.
Well, defend yourself, huh?
All right, leave Steven out of this.
I'm not focusing on... Oh, wait.
He wasn't talking about Steven.
Why is he that works. Bubbles out on the patio?
Yes, Bubbles is out on the patio. I mean, we've got a full house
Do
tonight.
We need to get Bubbles in here?
We've got Brendan here, too. It's just everybody's here tonight.
Yeah.
Wow. It's incredible. And we've got a lot going on. You know, this is June. It's Pride Month. So there are just activities galore going on. Starting with, as always, every Wednesday at Tony's Corner Pocket is the Tony's Corner Divas, featuring Lillian Devereaux, Anne Marie Gill, Selena St. John, Marsha Mink Gill, and Regina Dane. That's Wednesdays at 9 p.m., a little early because we know it's a school night, and they start on time so that you can get a nice professional show and go home before it's way too late. Yeah, it's probably the most professional drag show in Houston. And I know that people who have listened to me say that before have gone to the show. Because they heard it on the radio.
I hadn't heard any jail escapes.
Hey. Hey.
What?
So,
I knew people listened to the show, but I didn't know they actually listened to Jimmy.
Yeah,
I sure as hell don't.
I know, God. Anyway, let's see. We've got stuff coming up. I know that...
I think someone in the other room can talk about that item on their first show.
The Colts are going to talk about the Cult 45's anniversary party, which is happening tonight. In fact, Stanley came in, and I've already talked with him. So I'll be getting there a little late. I'm going to put Daddy to bed early. And
slip him a Mickey.
But
yeah,
next,
that is a scary thought there.
Next Sunday is, of course, Father's Day. That means it's the Daddy of Montrose contest that's happening at Mary's, naturally. The contest proceeds benefit Hatch. So I wanted to talk about that before the Hatch segment. So,
well, there's another reason for you to talk about putting Daddy to bed. Before the Hatch segment.
Why?
Who do we have in the studio?
Well, I know. I'm going to get to him in a little bit. Okay. But also, let's see, and here's something for those who have a little bit more money to spend. The Lazarus House is holding its first annual movable feast, progressive dinner benefit. Join us on Sunday, June the 22nd, to savor the solstice with a progressive dinner benefiting Lazarus House. We will be traveling first class to different locations for each of the five courses, cocktails, appetizer, salad, entree, and dessert. That will be from 3 to 8 p.m. Wow, starting early. Host is Metamorphosis. VIP tickets are $145, and general tickets are $95. Now, the difference being that for $145, you go in a limo, and for $95, you go on a bus.
Considering how much gas costs.
yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I'm not fainted this evening filling up to come into town.
So RSVP through Melissa at 713-942-7400. And please purchase tickets by June 15th. Or, you know, contact Lazarus House over there on Austin. They can take care of that for you. It's a nice little fundraiser for a great organization. And let's see, the next Sunday, no, I'm going to let you do that one, because I'm going to talk about ICOH and things that are happening with ICOH. They are doing bartending and cooking. No, they're not. They are doing...
Hold on.
What? They did that last week.
I'm just making sure you're looking at the right month.
Yes,
this week.
It's June. Every Wednesday.
Last week he was talking about the April Fool's show.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's just, I don't know. Midweek Madness show happens at EJ's every Wednesday. This week hosted by Dennis Watson. It's a pre-Motown show theme. And it says pre-Motown because... on the 14th, next Saturday night, Motown comes to Montrose. Her Imperial Majesty Ginger Vitus is hosting that show at EJ's at 9-ish. And let's see, over on the ERISA side, the Empire of the Royal Sovereign and Imperial Court of the Single Star, Inc.
Houston.
Yes.
Gee, I felt like we played that skit there a couple weeks ago. About 100 times?
These folks have got a whole bunch of stuff coming up for the month of June. Tonight, Sunday night, the 8th, Show Your Pride and Let It Soar, hosted by the Board of Directors for Reese's. That's happening at Tony's Corner Pocket at 7 p.m. On the 13th, An Evil Bottoms Up, hosted by Aaron Patterson and Natasha Nicole.
You'll be there, right, Jimmy?
Mm-hmm. Also at Tony's Corner Pocket at 8:30. Actually, Stanley's still in town. On the 14th, For the Girls, number 2.
Now, you want me to fill that in?
What does that mean? The girls get number 2, or...
Oh. Do you know how that started?
First you eat corn.
That would be my guess.
No,
yes.
Scott and I started that last year.
Ah.
And
so this is For the Girls
number 2.
Just two.
Yeah, we started that for our sisters last year as a direct benefit.
Gotcha.
And we're doing it again this year, and this time we brought in Chris Sushi Volk.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this one, she's been working her butt off on this show. but Scott and I just put our names on it. She's been doing all the work.
Wow. Because that's happening at Club Eden at 10:30. 10:30?
10:30, yeah.
Holy cow.
Well, it's a long drive down there.
Well,
where's Club Eden?
Club Eden is at NASA Road 1 and I-45. It's on the southeast corner of it, right next to Conn's. And they are being fantastic, bending over backwards in a few other positions.
Ooh.
And the nice thing about this club is that they have a separate dance floor from the stage, so we have the bar all night.
Nice.
Very
That's
nice.
Very nice.
And pretty soon they're going to be opening up another bar called Adams down the road.
Ooh, for
it's
the boys,
all
huh?
the boys, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then on the 15th, Father Knows Best, hosted by King Fathers Derek Iano and Christopher Garrett at the BRB, Brazos River Bottom, 2400 Brazos, at 7 p.m. And I don't want to go too far into it because...
Well, they're supposed to be here next week, and they can talk about it then.
Actually, yes. I don't think we will.
Ah, okay.
I already forewarned you of that, didn't I, Jimmy?
Quell Supreme.
Yes, yes.
That's good. I already scheduled
it. I already forewarned Jimmy. I said, you know, we're going to be at my show, at mine and Scott and Sushi's show on the 14th. So
yeah.
We're going to be running late.
Okay.
Yeah, I also had a different quickie coming in next week.
You do?
Yeah. I sent you an email. I included a dirty picture, so you must have opened it. Michelle from Hell will be here.
Next week?
Talking about Summer Syndrome?
No, I didn't get that.
I sent you a dirty picture along with it to make sure you would open it and
read
it.
Wow, no. You should have put dirty picture in the caption, in the subject line. That's the only way
When
did you send it?
I think it was a very dirty, disgusting picture. It's supposedly you in the picture there. We can tell the back of your head in the pink shirt.
Oh, God. Was it from Louie?
No. It's from right here.
The Imperial.
His teeth are chattering.
Among only other Chris things. Can do that.
I can't even read this. Cubby Christopher Sparkles Boy Prado and Grand Duchess VCOH MJ Summers are having a show on the 21st, a magical night of Disney. That's because Christopher is in Disneyland right now, and he's going to come back, and he's going to be all geared up with his Mickey Mouse hat that probably glows and sparkles and lights.
He's
flash.
At Disney?
Yes. He goes every year. He loves it. He's a Disney freak.
Huh. Well, so, he must have been having a good time because I saw him online there cruising around.
Oh, my God. I know it. He keeps sending emails and stuff. It's like, Christopher, you're on vacation. Forget about Houston. Anyway, a magical night of Disney, Saturday, June the 21st at Tony's Corner Pocket. Man, everything's happening at Tony's. 817 West Dallas, showtime 8 p.m. And you've got a couple of things over there.
Hey, this is the Tony's, too. You asked for it, so dishing it out on Saturday, June 14th at 4 p.m. at Tony's. Show us your meat and we'll sauce it.
Ooh.
A benefit for AFH Camp Hope. So you think you can cook? Well, come out and prove it to us. Barbecue and anything else, cook and taste off. Bring us your brisket, your ribs, your poultry, your desserts, you name it, and see if we have if you have the prize-winning recipe. I'm saying what it says. It's misspelled.
Okay.
I'm evil.
Yes, you are.
Entry is $10 for the first item, $2 for each additional item. Remember, these are tax-deductible donations.
Mm-hmm.
Get your club together, your friends together, your favorite bar together. Come out for the music, fun, competition. Go to southerncountryhouston.com or shoot an email over to socoho@yahoogroups.com. And following that at 8 p.m. will be the We Would Miss You, but never use... You never... Take two. I can take two takes. You took three. We Would Miss You, but You Never Seem to Go Away.
That was different.
The things that go on before the show you don't want to know about.
We were working on a promo.
A salute to our Daddy of Montrose 2008, Stephen Bunch, who will be stepping down
ta-da!
Sunday.
Stepping down, but never aside.
Push.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing he put in my hand here is... from over at EJ's, the Patriarch of Montrose Competition 2008.
That's happening on the 22nd.
It doesn't even say that on here, does it?
It does on the poster.
The blurry picture of men's asses.
Yes.
Hey, I made that poster.
Ooh.
Yes, I did.
I didn't miss very nice.
Thank you.
Well, for how old the picture is, which one's Jimmy?
Oh. Hey.
June 22nd at 7 p.m. at EJ's, hosted by Ken Claude.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to run for the contest, application available at EJ's. It's a benefit for Legacy Community Health Services. Or you can shoot an email over to morgan.fairview@yahoo.com.
And a big event that we want to start plugging now, because it's at the end of the month. It's the third annual Noche de Gala, put on by Gallo.
I got a feeling you butchered something.
Yeah, the Gay and Lesbian Latino Organization. Noche de Gala. G-A-L-A.
Oh, okay.
A black tie affair. That is Friday, June the 27th. This is like a really big hotsy-totsy thing, like really black tie and tux and ball gowns, and that's just the men. That's happening at Greer and Loudermilk Conference Center, Grand Ballroom, 4225 Interwood North Parkway, near JFK and Beltway 8.
Good grief.
8 p.m. to 1 a.m.
That's outside the Beltway.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And music by Houston's powerhouse Aviso Band. Okay. Benefiting the Gallo Scholarship Fund, Camp Hope, Lazarus House, Lexi Bowen Community Fund, and the GLBT Community Center. Isn't it time to talk to with some folks?
A little past, yeah.
Oh, it's past time. Okay.
Can show us a little... I wasn't trying to crank your... wind your crank.
Wind your crank. Crank your wind.
You couldn't crank wind my crank, Daddy. Anyway...
So says the Model T.
You can turn his mic off since he's...
At this time, I like to demonstrate winding a crank on the radio.
Thank God I can
And I will give the running commentary.
And I'll change seats.
And I'm going to put the microphone right in the middle of it so everybody can hear it.
That's good. I've been wanting to take a weekend or two off and go to Dallas anyway. Save Jimmy from having to do work.
We have the Colts with us tonight.
And Ereses and the Colts.
And Ereses
and nudists.
And everybody.
Cross-pollination is a wonderful thing.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes. And I am an honorary Colt, as a matter of fact.
By injection.
Well, see, he didn't read that award here. That's honorary. But, you know.
Oh, no. I take it back. You're a misfit by injection. That's
well,
right.
Well. Oh, I want the story on this one.
What are the Colts doing?
Hey, what a coincidence. That's the same gesture.
What's this injection?
After he became a misfit, that was the same gesture he made.
That was a burp that I did then. What,
and I'll do our quickie because we're just surprising everybody. Sunday, as you mentioned, today.
Sunday.
Or today for some
today.
Of you listening to the sound of our voice. June 8th, 8 p.m. at the BRB. The Colts have a show with a few munchies and surprises, and as well as some awards that we give internally. And they're not always a good thing to win. Our awards are not always a good thing at our anniversary.
You mean like Slut of the Year?
And drunk. That was neat last year. I don't know how I got it.
Drunk of the Year?
Yeah. Well, you politicked a lot, and the posters helped too.
I have my favorite for Slut of the Year this year.
Who?
I should say it on the air.
Yes.
What if he doesn't win?
Dennis.
No, it's not Dennis.
I think it should be Dennis. After what he did at Louis, I think it should be Dennis.
Well, I spent a weekend with this man out of town, and I think he should win it.
And who did you spend a weekend out of town with?
Dwayne.
That's what I figured.
Well, he became a member after March, so he's eligible next year.
Oh, okay.
So you know, make your posters.
Then it's got to be Dennis. Right.
because next year, then we can also do the international version of it, and he can win that also.
Oh,
because he went to Amsterdam the week after that.
Yes,
the week
he did,
before that,
so. And.
He was active over there.
Yeah.
A judge.
My.
It wasn't a judge.
Yes, it was a judge he was active with.
Not a drag queen judge either, a real judge.
Why not?
Well, you know, and I'll interject in all this fun. This is our 32nd anniversary. We've had 30 years, can you believe it, at the BRB, as well as for 20 years, we've been helping people with AIDS through our AIDS Trouble Fund.
We talk about these awards that you give, and they're kind of fun camp awards, but the business that the Colts does is extremely serious.
Well, maybe.
Yeah, it is. I look at you
five minutes a week, yes.
The last ditch effort for some folks before they're on the street.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And, we're the old cronies. The quiet old cronies.
You're the worker bees. Are you kidding?
And it's why we have a lot of people that even though they may not be active members, they still keep in touch, as well as we have people that come out and help support, like yourself. And we have, well, you know, I thought we have a lot of people that may not be active members. This Rose from ICOH. And,
yeah.
And we have Falcon, who's always close to heart and surprises us and comes to meetings when I least expect it. Because he's busy. You know, everybody has different things. As
I
well.
Made a meeting once right. this year, and he would never forget it.
if you're an activist in this organization, you're a member of several organizations.
We have a new branch opening up in Philadelphia. So.
The cults do that, but they also do things like, I just can't get over it every year. Because I go to the PWA campout. I am a PWA, so I go to the campout. And it's 140 miles away from Houston. And the Colts show up on Saturday to serve lunch to 140 guys. They drive all the way. You know, they have to cook it all and lug it up 140 miles and serve it.
Originally we were doing things like sloppy joes and spaghetti and stuff like that. And now it's just hot dogs and bologna sandwiches because we come up on Friday now for the free liquor. And we're like, you know, we're too drunk in the morning to make anything elaborate now, so you're getting peanut butter.
Well, I'll tell you, all the guys out there that go to the camp out are really happy to get your weenies.
They need the practice.
In the fall, September 9th through 11th, not that we're putting that plug in there, but we have a nice, as he runs through his calendar.
Yeah, you know me. No, that doesn't sound right.
But
12
tonight,
through the 14th?
Tonight, later tonight, yeah, that's a big deal, and people should go over to the BRP and support the cults.
And a lot of people, we're talking about doing dinner this year, so we won't be able to drive up. We have to stay.
Wow.
Well, it's not just the cults. There's, you know, we've talked to a lot of the other member clubs and people, because this PWA camp out in September would be the 20th camp out.
Well, really?
Yeah, they had one in 99, three in 2000, and two every year after that. So this will be the 20th camp out. So, and since, you know, cross-pollination, since Lady Victoria Lust was a cult as well.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And she
as well as a Reese's member, as well as...
she was instrumental in getting that camp out started.
Yes.
So we have a lot of fun up there.
Yeah.
I try and name an organization she wasn't a member of while she was around.
That's right. So what other things do the cults have going on? I know you put a lot of effort into the anniversary show.
Well,
June
is a month that with our membership, and it's not a large club, it's not a small club, but we have about somewhere between 8 and 12 active members, depending on what day it is. But that's a good thing. We have people that drop in, and friends and family. But after that, then we have just go out and support everybody else, because we know that June is a busy month.
Yeah, it is very, very busy month.
Speaking of, don't we have...
Things on July. Reese's calendar.
July. Yeah, isn't that amazing? Woo. They're looking at my calendar here, and it's like, July. Okay, that's PWA Holiday Charities. They got their Christmas in July coming up July 6th.
Yeah.
So.
And when the poster goes out July 19th for the first community garage sale at Tony's. We'll talk more about that. We'll send you the flyer.
Really?
If you got something you want to sell. Yes, it was talk, you know, when you get together late at night at those campouts.
Uh-huh.
And you have a lot of sodas.
Refreshing beverages.
And sodas.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And you talk about what could be fun. We have people from other clubs have talked about, we ought to do a garage sale type thing where everybody just brings out their stuff, slaps it on the table, and if you want to buy it, you can sell it. So I believe they have a date at July 19th at Tony's.
Ooh.
And a lot of the clubs and organizations got into non-denominational type stuff so that they can do it at EJ's and the BRB. And a lot of different clubs want to have like just a garage sale.
Have you noticed that he looks at my calendar and figures out what days I have shows on just so I can't be at it?
Oh, the My Show?
My Show. That's me.
Well,
my show.
This is not a cult thing, and I don't necessarily have anything to do with it other than cleaning out my attic. You know, a lot of good things.
But, you know, speaking of that rummage sale, that's something that was discussed, and that's something that they do up in Dallas with the fire dancers. They have this thing called the Ruby Slipper. I think you've
been I've heard of that.
Yeah. During their run, usually on Sundays, they have a Ruby Slipper where they just bring in all this antique stuff and all this stuff that's laying around their house, and they sell it off, and they make very good money off of it. So it's kind of the premise that we're coming up with, is to do something like that.
Yeah.
Bring out some, you know, good old stuff
yeah.
that could be sold and see how much money we can make off of it. So I think, you know.
But you can't sell her.
My husband is mine, and I'm keeping him at home.
So I'm sure we'll announce that ACC.
Some antiques you want to keep.
And that's where the idea basically came from, people talking at the camp out about the ruby slipper, and you yeah. say, hey, that's a good idea. Let's borrow it.
That's a good idea. That's a very good idea. Well, anyway, I picked Stanley up tonight, and on the way home, I said, you know, the Colts are having their anniversary show tomorrow night, and I really want to go to that. So we're redoing our schedule together.
Thank you,
so
sir.
That he goes home a little bit early because he doesn't stay up late. And I'll yeah. be there. I'll be there tomorrow
Yay.
Night at the BRB.
Yay.
Just not at 8 o'clock, but I'll be there a little bit
Speaking
later.
Speaking of time, it's just not me because Stanley seems to come in only on our show
I know,
dates.
Isn't that crazy?
Came in at Christmas, came in...
And you know what? When he leaves?
What is it?
The 15th.
The 15th.
Fortunately, it's early afternoon.
The man has good timing. Well, I don't know about good taste, but he's got good timing.
Hey,
what
hey,
you need to do
hey.
Is schedule.
Oh, sorry.
Get a hold of his schedule. He obviously has no taste.
Well, that ain't oh, all dust.
He has good taste. He just lowered his standards.
No, what you need to do is find Stanley's schedule out
yeah.
and have an event, then call it Stanley's Gone Gone Away. Jimmy's here to play.
That would be hysterical.
You know,
you should do that show.
Stanley's Gone Away.
And Jimmy's here to play.
Jimmy's here to play. Yes, my, that would be hysterical.
My.
And reminding people, you can listen to this show and any other show on the archives at,
yes,
for After Hours. And if Stanley ever gets there, we're all going to be in trouble because after 17 uh-huh. years or how many years?
30.
Well, 30 years. You know,
Stanley and I have been together 30. The show is 20 years old.
So there's a lot of good Stanleyisms in
mm-hmm.
this.
Mm-hmm.
Don't listen, Stanley.
And I always promised him one thing. I would never use his last name on the air.
You know, I don't think I've ever met Stanley.
Really?
No.
Oh, you'd remember him.
You see, I kind of feel
he
like
is very distinctive.
It's kind of like the father from The Nanny. You never saw him for like all those seasons, and all of a sudden he just pops up and it's Steve Lawrence.
Every once in a while, I get to, you know, Stanley will come to an event, but not very often. He just...
Last time I saw that was Halloween.
Well, I was liking Stanley to Mr. Big in Sex and the City. Because you know, he's always around, and you just, you know, mm-hmm.
One day,
we'll all be invited to the big event.
There you go.
When Texas has gay marriages, right?
Is it time for Hatch?
Coming up shortly.
Hey, you got tickets to give away.
You talk about marriage, yes. And he starts choking.
Well, it wasn't about marriage. It was Ooh. Just, you know, meeting Stanley.
We have tickets to give away.
Yeah,
I totally forgot.
Segway.
To what?
Hold off before you segue, though. Anybody who's listening that needs assistance from the Colt 45?
Yes.
Give us a call at 713-526-6077. That's 713-526-6077. Leave a message with your address and so forth. We'll send out an application to you, and you can apply for assistance from the AIDS Trouble Fund.
Okay. What if I need assistance and I have a computer?
You can go to www.colt45s.org, or you can email atf@colt45s.org.
Hold on. That would be dubcubed.colt45s.org.
Correct.
I think you made it more difficult.
Well, if you just say Colts, people don't know if they're supposed to put in an apostrophe.
Oh, that's true. Sorry.
Can you put it in a apostrophe?
I don't believe so.
As well as if you have
But then that would be confusing, and then they would be frustrated because, oh, it's supposed to have an apostrophe, and that won't let me put it in. I don't know what to do.
What's that phone number again?
713-526-6077.
Yeah, so just call them, folks.
And if you have a case management worker, Legacy, Thomas Street, you know, we've done very well in the last few weeks to mm-hmm. get those out to people.
Good.
Your case management workers can either find us or they have applications. So
okay.
A lot of people forget that we do work with some of the large organizations to help
yeah,
out.
Yeah, you do.
Even Bearing and Resurrection, and there's a lot of places that know that we can help out, too.
Okay. Fabulous.
What are the tickets for?
The tickets?
You're not eligible.
I'm not an employee or a relative.
We've got two pairs of tickets to give away tonight. For the True Colors concert.
Oh, I'm dialing now. 713-526-5738.
That's 713 526-5738. The deal of it is, well, don't call yet, because we're not going to give them away until we play a Cyndi Lauper song.
And the board just lit up.
So, it'll please don't call yet. Don't call yet.
In other words, I need to put the Cyndi Lauper CD in.
Yes, you do. Oh. And this is how it works. Someone will answer the phone and take your name and address, and then you will be able to pick up the tickets starting Monday here at the station, 419 Lovett Boulevard.
If you're calling in, we're not starting it yet. So when the music starts.
When the music starts, honey.
We're going to take.
So hang up. I see you're blinking. I see it. Hang up.
Give it up.
Nope. We're not going to answer that.
And if you need an escort, email daddy.
When the music starts, we're going to take caller
number three.
Caller number three. Let's try that.
Okay.
Let's see if we get three calls.
Well, wait a minute now. We're giving away two pair. So if we're not giving away two pair to the same person.
No, we give away one pair now and one pair later.
Oh, is that how you want to do it?
Why not?
Okay.
Let's make them stay awake for a little bit.
713-526-5738. As soon as you hear Chris start that Cyndi Lauper song.
Caller number three. 713-526-5738.
Cindy Lauper with Girls Just Want to Have Fun. And just give away our first pair of tickets to the True Colors Tour as it comes here to Houston. I got to find out some more information about it. I saw about it, and like I was teasing with Jimmy earlier, said, I've loved Cindy Lauper ever since she was a wrestler. That shows my age there, back when Cindy Lauper was getting into the wrestling ring as a manager. We'll be giving away another pair later on when you hear the next Cindy Lauper tune. I guess we'll try a third caller again, because we actually had people calling in. You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. It's time now for Hatch. You look moderately awake over there, bro.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Okay, I'm awake.
Wait, we have to be awake?
Yes, we do.
Oh.
Well, for because of the age, we only stay awake. You know, the other groups, we have other requirements for those who are 21 and older.
Not inebriated?
With the exception of me.
Ah, okay.
But it's time to turn it over to y'all and...
Say hello to Sally Huffer.
Hello, Sally Huffer.
Hi.
She won the first tickets. So.
Hello. okay. So it's Josh who's supposed to start talking? Talk?
Why do I have to talk? Okay. So this is the Hatch Hour. I'm Josh.
I'm Elizabeth.
And my name's Brendan.
And so this week, we decided to talk about Pride and everything that has, that is entitled with Pride. Basically, there are many different things, many different aspects of Pride, and some people show their pride in different ways. Whether it is in a way that is,
What, you want me to talk?
Yes, you talk.
Well, I don't know.
Were we maybe marching in a parade?
Marching in the parade, or in...
Ways people show pride is what you're trying to say?
Yes, basically.
Okay.
Being out to family, friends, and work?
Mm-hmm.
That's a way of showing pride.
Yeah, I just did that, the being out at work thing this week.
Wow, this week?
Yeah, this last week I was sitting around with some people I work with and just kind of came up.
Wow.
It's kind of weird. It's like my first experience coming out to people I work with.
That's a big step.
Yeah, it was weird, but, you know.
So what did they think?
One of the guys is out, and... a couple of the other people, like, they're friends with him and everything, so it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. But it was still a little weird, because now, like, everyone's, like, asking me stupid questions, and I'm going, I've only been out for a little while, thank you. Don't know much.
Like, what kind of questions?
Mostly, like, you know, clubs and that kind of stuff, and I don't do clubs, and right. I've never been able to go out and that kind of stuff, and a lot of other things, like... relationships and, you know, all that. And I, again, not too knowledgeable about those facts. And I've had some mean stuff, like, you know, the normal mean thing. But, yeah.
That's too bad. Well, how did it come up? Did someone just ask you, or did you just volunteer it?
Yeah, somebody was asking, and I just kind of, you know, I didn't want to lie, of course, and I wasn't gonna try and, you know, worm my way out of it. If I'm gonna work there, I'm not gonna hide who I am, so I just kind of told him.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
Whenever I work, basically, I try to be out in every situation of my...
Sweetie, you couldn't work anywhere and have anyone... think that you were straight.
Yes.
You can't walk into a room and people not know.
Yes, people do have that tendency, but...
To know immediately?
No.
Hi, I'm Josh, you're gay.
No, not quite, but...
Sweetie, have you seen... when you run, it's... Oh, my God. Tippy toes, he runs on the balls of his feet.
It's faster for me to run because...
There's a swaying action and hands move and oh my god.
Just shush.
Now, just because someone runs that way doesn't mean they're gay.
No, but then
that
he talks.
That is stereotyping. That is stereotyping. And we do not like to stereotype.
Okay, okay.
I'll remember that. I'll remember that, Miss Lesbian.
But I guess if you are a living stereotype, then... Not to say that you are, but...
Uh-huh, how wonderful. How wonderful.
There could be people out there that are, and that's okay.
Yeah, yeah. We're just like everybody else.
You know what? That's a way of showing your pride. By being yourself, or being comfortable, or just trying on a new skin and being someone completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Being exactly. comfortable with experimenting with who you are and how you present yourself. I think that's a form of pride.
Yes, I think it is too. But it's been a long time that we've, in the past, we haven't been able to show our pride.
In that way, you're right.
Mm-hmm. In many different ways, we've had to hide. And in times of disaster, in times of need... But today, in our society, we have gotten to a point where we can show our pride. We can show that we're different. But at the same time, show that we are also alike. In the fact that we're not so different from any other culture, from any other person. We're just a human like anybody else.
Well, that's well said.
Yes, but for all the people that basically had to die or be hurt so that we can show our pride, I think that's why we do the parade every year.
Hmm.
To show kind of
a memorial
of the people that couldn't be here for that. Basically.
Well, I think that is an aspect of pride, of it. For sure.
Exactly.
Do you guys know the story of Pride? Do you know why we celebrate Pride?
Yes. Stonewall.
Yeah.
My dad did the whole story for me because I didn't know. And my dad, he drives in the Montrose, so he's a cab driver and he drives in the Montrose. So he knows the story and everything, and so he told it to me because I didn't know.
Oh, wow. Well, share it with some of us. And everyone has different parts of the story.
Oh, no. I'm not sharing that. I'm going to get it wrong, and then somebody's going to be like, oh, my God, that was so bad. I'm not doing it.
Then I'll share a little bit. Well, I know a tad about Stonewall, but I'm no history buff. But this, basically, the Stonewall riot started... basically, when the gay community, they were at the Stonewall pub, and
it was drag.
There were drag queens.
Yeah,
there were
drag queens. So yeah.
And, you know, just your generic gay person.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In New York, this is all in New York.
Yes, it's all in New York.
And Dykes, there were lots of Dykes.
Oh, Dykes,
of course.
Yes. Had to chime in. Yeah.
Well, you know, he's here to check our facts to make sure we get it right.
Yes.
And in case you leave any out, the Night of Pride is the last Saturday in June.
Yes.
And, of course, After Hours will be on at 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And we do an annual thing. We have a half-hour radio program that was recorded about 20 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And it interviewed people who were still alive who participated at Stonewall.
Oh, wow.
So it gives a perspective from the police and a perspective from Sylvia Rivera, who threw the first shoe.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And other people who, the bartenders and other people who were involved. So, go ahead. And I'm interested in someone your age, what you know about Stonewall.
This is a quiz.
Oh, yeah, I'm not talking anymore.
Oh, no, step down.
No, don't.
No, it's important. It's important.
It's an important fact in our history.
One of my other hats is I'm involved with the Gulf Coast Archive and Museum of GLBT History.
Yes.
And so it's important that we get that history out there.
Yes, exactly.
And if you are misinformed,
You're just gonna.
I'm just gonna say. No. Go ahead. It's really interesting. There are people who thought, oh, Stonewall. That was a bar in Long Beach, right?
No.
Oh, wow.
What?
No.
But it happened one night when basically the GLBT community decided we can't take this anymore, because for weeks on end, for years actually, they just kept on coming to the Stonewall bar, and they kept on harassing everybody, and they would do raids on Stonewall. And so one night they just decided that they can't handle this anymore, that why do they keep on doing this to us? So basically it erupted in a riot, and the police handled it in one way, but it went on for a couple of days. I can't
oh, that I don't know those specifics, but apparently some of the back history, it was illegal, I believe, or there was a city ordinance against serving homosexuals alcoholic drinks and beverages. And that was one of the reasons for the raids.
I think it also was illegal for people of the same sex to dance.
Yeah, there was some sort of, I don't know, ordinance of some sort. So then that's why the cops would come in and raid and bust these places.
Yes, exactly.
Or one of the excuses for doing it. And the other big element of Stonewall and how it built up and became the day it was.
Yes, exactly.
Was anyone know what happened? What important event happened in gay history?
A huge important event
right.
happened the day of Stonewall.
Right.
Judy Garland died.
There we go.
It was her funeral.
Yes. I didn't know that.
Yes.
Yes.
So emotions were high and raw, and you know, a beloved gay icon
yes.
passed away.
Mm. One of the first real gay icons. Streisand came later.
Yeah. Yes, of course.
And then all of a sudden everybody's a diva.
Right.
Yeah, that's
yes,
right.
Exactly.
So you had people who were just really emotional and saddened and just drained, and then here come the cops again.
Yeah. Yes. Because John Lindsay was running for mayor. And he wanted to do a crackdown, and the bar had just been raided the week before, and the payoffs had been made, and they came in and raided it again. So it was just a whole lot of different factors. If it had been just one of those factors, it probably wouldn't have happened.
Right.
But just the combination of everything.
Yes, exactly.
And this usual docile group all of a sudden went riotous, and the police were flabbergasted. They didn't know how to react to it.
People from other bars came and helped, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
The riot continued the entire weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what my dad was telling me. So that it started at the Stonewall bar, and people from the other bars in the area found out what was happening, and they went to help
and it continued in the streets of the village all weekend. Mm-hmm. Here and there the police would, you know, there'd be this crowd gather and just do destructive things,
right.
And riot, and the police would come and they would scatter and gather somewhere else, and it kept on and on and on. Mm-hmm. And from that, the Gay Liberation Front was formed, and that was
beginning of the modern gay era.
Absolutely, because unlike the Mattachine Society and the Daughters of Bilitis,
yes.
who wanted to fit in, they were conservative groups.
Represented themselves
yes.
openly as
yes.
businessmen and women.
Absolutely,
just like
were
you.
Just like you and
right.
yeah, yeah,
yes.
yeah. The Gay Liberation Front said, BS. We're different, we're queer, and get used to it.
Right.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Which, you know, you pose the question, how do people show their pride? And this is an interesting topic, I think, and we've talked about it before. Have we gotten away with the GLBT Pride Parade? Have we gotten away from that individuality, that we're different, and this is our celebration, this is who we are, this is our day? Have we gotten away from that, and have we tended more to the side that, okay, we're GLBT, we're presenting ourselves
to the world, to the outside community, and we're just like you. It's like you were saying. Mm-hmm. You know, you had the group before that presented themselves as the businessmen and women. This is who we are. We're gay. We're just like you. And then you had the Stonewall riots, where, as you know, we're different. We're outrageous. We're who we mm-hmm. are, and you get to know us and love us and deal with it. So, you know, where are we right now, and what is the significance of the GLBT Pride Parade today?
I think
for you guys.
I've never been to parade.
I've never been either. This is my first year.
Wow.
A couple of my friends wanted me to go when I was younger, but I was too chicken shit. I'm not supposed to say that, sorry. I was too afraid to go, so I didn't. And I was going to go last year, but just didn't have the chance. So this is my first year going.
How do you view it?
I don't know. Like I said, I've never been, and I've never really seen anything about it before, so.
What do you expect?
Wildness, mostly. I've been to the Westheimer Street Festival, so I know large groups of people getting together on a street is not a formula for peace and quiet.
You are so right.
Especially when alcohol gets involved and other assorted things. Mm-hmm. So I know it's not going to be quiet, and I know I'm looking forward to wildness and lots of fun. So
yes.
But you know,
this is my first time, so I don't know what I'm going
to do. The parade is different. Because 20, 30 years ago, we were a renegade group. We were different. And we were illegal. But as the years have progressed, and 2106 got knocked down, and it's not illegal to be gay anymore, and women can wear fly front pants, and, you know, all these kinds of things, we are. We are homogenizing,
right.
And we are becoming just another part of society.
All right.
So we may not stick out as much as we used to, but we're still different.
Right. Yes. So, and I've always felt like the Gay Pride Parade should celebrate that difference.
Yeah.
Don't worry so much about the suit and tie and the we're just like you. So you know, don't hate us because we're your neighbor, we're your coworker, we're just like your son, your cousin, whatever. I like the idea of it being a little wild and crazy. This mm-hmm. is our party. This is, and it's okay for men in buttless chaps to walk in the Pride Parade, mm-hmm. and it's okay for women to wear a thong as long as it's street legal. I mean, these are things that people watching the parade can wear because there's
now,
nothing
now
illegal
you're
about
scaring
it.
Me.
Yeah. No, because this is. It's become more family-oriented. You're going to see a lot of kids.
Yeah, I read
you're
see something
a lot
about
of families.
Men not being allowed. You know, they had to wear shirts and stuff like that.
Yeah, is that true?
Weird.
Guys can't go
I don't know.
A shirt.
We were just having that discussion on the deck out back because I was not aware that we had to wear shirts.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, it's June, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
It's going to be quite hot out
you know,
there,
and I there's always muscle boys
yeah.
on the bar floats that are, you know.
Well, I think it's a
in
sad.
In their little Speedos.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a sad statement if the Pride Parade rules say that guys can't go without a shirt.
Well, I don't think it's that, but I think individual entries may want to have their own dress code.
Yeah, that's probably
for
true.
One reason or another.
Mm, that's probably
you know, if it's a group of teenagers.
Yeah.
Who may be some of them less than 18 years old?
Yes.
Then maybe you don't want to have them in Speedos.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, we were given a crackdown on what we were allowed to wear and not allowed to wear.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's for propriety.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because something like that, if the hatch float went down the street. And women were in thongs and men were in Speedos, then
I would not be there.
Well, not only that, but the focus on the family groups
right.
would be, you know, capturing that. Oh, look at what they're doing to our teenagers.
Right. It would be definitely be inappropriate for a teen group. That's
yeah.
That's certainly
yeah.
true.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, when we're talking about a bar, that is adult entertainment, and it's a bit racier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, again, it's nothing that wouldn't be street legal.
That's right. That's
so,
right.
Mm-hmm. And each group should decide what's appropriate for their members mm-hmm. to wear and whatnot.
But. And a dress inside of a bar has to be street legal because they're serving alcohol. So, you know, there's nothing all that bad going on.
Right, right.
Okay. Let's get off of that subject.
Yeah.
I'm going to let the old guy shut up for a while because this is a teen segment.
It's always, but thank you for the Stonewall history.
You bet.
It's always nice to hear that.
And if you can't listen to the show, probably you won't because you'll be so excited or you'll be going out after the parade mm-hmm. and doing whatever it is. On your computer the next day, go to kpft.org and, you know, go to the archive and pull up After Hours mm-hmm. and listen to the show. We'll have that somewhere in... It's a half-hour segment. We'll have it somewhere in that 3 hours.
Cool.
Okay.
I'll have to pull that up. I didn't know we could go listen to old shows on
this. Yeah. Yes. We archive them here at KPFT for 4 weeks. And then on the GCAM website, gcam.org, I believe they're archived for the last 3 years.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was 3 months. Not 3 years.
No, they started it, and they record it every week.
Wow. Okay.
And they're keeping it forever. It is a museum.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Josh, did you have anything you need to say?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Well, there's another big event coming up. Yes, the biggest event in the Hatch year is the Hatch Prom. Each year, Hatch throws an alternative prom for teens and adults that weren't able to bring a same-sex partner to their prom. If you're under 21, then under 21 and above 13, then you can get in for free. If you're over 21, 21 and over, basically you have to pay $25 for a donation. And it is going to be this Friday coming up, June 13th, and it's going to be from 7 to 12. And our theme, we try to kind of match Pride a little bit, and we went with a disco theme, and our little motto is hustle on down to Funky Town. So that's our little theme, and basically thing that we encourage is that you can come in drag, you can come as you are, but at the same time it has to be street legal. If you are wearing assless chaps, you will be turned away at the door.
Not appropriate for a teen.
Yes.
Prom.
Also, if you're wearing drag and we can see your bits and bobs, we're going to turn you away also. So basically it is a teen prom. But this is for all of the people that couldn't, basically go to their prom. Mm-hmm. And every year Hatch does an alternative prom. And last year it was Stairway to Heaven. And this year we decided to go with disco theme to kind of match Pride. Every fourth song I've been told is going to be a disco song. So we're going to try to tie in with all of that. And it sounds like a lot of fun.
Where's it going to be?
At the at MCC, at the Montrose Counseling Center. It's going to be in this huge community space at MCC. And this is its first year at MCC.
In our new building.
In our new building, exactly. Last year it was at the Magnolia Ballroom, which is quite beautiful. But this year we decided to do it in our own space to make it more personal, to make it seem like we're up and coming, basically. And our theme, it's just going to be a bunch of balloons and party and buffet. Just a bunch of things.
The food is good. A lot of the local restaurants around the area donate food for the prom, and it's good stuff.
Yes, it
There's a DJ and all of that.
Yes, we're going to have a DJ and lights.
And a court. We'll have a court, king, queen.
Mm-hmm. King, queen, prince, princess.
Have either of you been to prom before?
I have.
Okay. This is my first year, and this is actually my first time going to a prom. I was homeschooled, so I didn't have a prom, and last year, a friend of mine invited me as her date, but they didn't allow
same sex,
so I didn't go.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
So,
yeah.
So that's still pretty much the rule, I guess. And
well, most out of town.
Most schools.
If it's
inner city, it's usually okay with it.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, my prom, I told them, I was like, I might have a same-sex we're going to be a same-sex couple, and we had three same-sex couples, but I couldn't bring the person that I wanted to bring because he basically canceled on me, so I had to grab one of my friends, and I was like, you don't have a date, you're straight, okay, we'll go together.
Were you in drag?
No, I wasn't.
You didn't?
No, I wore a white tuxedo, and she wore a black and red dress, and I wore a white tuxedo with red vest and tie.
Ooh,
that sounds sharp.
Yeah.
I like my white tuxedo. But yeah, and then for the hatch prom, I wore basically kind of like a suit. And my date was my boyfriend at the time. And so basically we went and we had our picture taken. And so we had a lot of fun just dancing the night away. And
this year he's got, what, four girls that are his date?
Yeah, four girls.
He's going to be the pimp. Yeah, he's got me and then
two of my straight girls.
Two of his straight friends.
And then one.
Oh, no, wait, you got five. You got my sister, too.
Oh, so it's five.
So it's five, yes, he's got five girls.
And I had to fit them all in my car somehow.
Yes.
So.
To say nothing of that white pimp hat with the ostrich feather.
Uh-huh.
yes. But I already have the boots and everything. I already have platforms. And I walked in them. I was like, oh, my God. How do these people do this? I almost sprained my ankle.
That is where I don't wear heels.
Yes. She doesn't wear heels, but I'm the one who
wears
heels.
Oh, I have really bad ankles, so heels do not. Elizabeth does not eat.
Well, then we're the ones that are like that tall. The
no, I mean, I really like have bad ankles. I can't even skate anymore. So
I never had a problem with platforms.
Neither do I. It's like, but one day, probably during prom, I'm just going to be like, pop. And be like, oh, well, now is the time to go to the hospital. Why do you think they had bell bottoms?
So how important is having a alternative prom for you guys?
Well, it's really cool for me. Like I said, I didn't have the opportunity to go to my own, and I didn't have the opportunity to go to my friend's. So it's really kind of something for me that I thought I was going to miss out on. And, you know, my parents were telling me about theirs, and, you know, that my mom, I don't think my mom went to hers, but, like, you know, everyone's telling me about their prom, and I'm sitting here going, I've never been to a school dance, let alone a school prom.
Yeah.
So it was something I thought I was never going to get to do. So when I found out, I thought it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool that I did that for people who didn't have the opportunity either to go to theirs with their partner or even to go to theirs at all. So,
Well, for I think we do it each year is for the people that couldn't do it in the past. It's, and in a way, it's kind of to heal old wounds for the people that, at the time, they were denying who they were and denying basically what they were. And every year we do this not only for the teens, but for the people that couldn't go to their own, who felt like, who didn't know who they were at that time. So I think that's also one of the reasons why we do it each year, is because of that. But each year we do it not just for teens, but it's for everyone. And in a way, it's in a way, it's become a annual thing with our community. We go, we have Pride, and then in the same month we have Hatch, the alternative prom.
It's prom and then Pride.
And then prom and then Pride. Right. It's but this year, since me and Elizabeth have basically planned everything out, I know that it's going to be really great, and because I've put a lot of hard work into it.
I don't know why he's including me. I've only been there for a couple of weeks, so...
Well...
I haven't done a lot of planning.
Well, it's called Joshua Doesn't Want to Give Himself All the Credit. But yeah, it takes a lot of hard work. But this year, it has been me and her a little bit, and Aja a little bit, and Deb and JT...
JT has put a lot into this. She's put a lot of time and a lot of effort into this. I mean, you have to give her props on that. She has put a lot of time into this.
Yes, she has. If you do not know who JT is, JT took over after Bill Alexander. Basically, he went to another job. And so JT is Jocelyn Tatum, and she is our wonderful youth coordinator. Yes, youth coordinator. She's done a lot for our schedule, and like in the past we haven't done a lot outside. We haven't done anything, like we've just stayed in our space and basically been by ourselves.
Yeah.
But
there've been a few field trips, but not
yeah,
a lot.
Yeah, but each,
she's been planning a lot of field trips.
Every good. This year and we've decided each month we will have a field trip.
Oh, that's great.
Each month we will have a field trip outside of the space. The one that is coming up is to the Gaiman's course.
Oh, good.
On the 21st, mm-hmm. To their concert on the 21st, which I'm like, True Colors Tour or Gaiman's course? So I was like, huh.
I'm going to probably have to go with the Gaiman's course because I don't have tickets to True Colors. Thank you.
Well, I'll bring you back a little mug or something.
Thank you. Thank you. No, but...
but the prom is always a celebration of... It's a celebration of teens, and also the fact that 20 years ago we wouldn't be doing this for... We wouldn't have an organization like Hatch... Or at least most people wouldn't know about Hatch. Hatch has been around since 1987, so it's been around for 21 years. But at the same time,
it was very small.
It was just.
And it kind of peaked and valleyed.
Yes.
You know, it almost disbanded a couple of times before it really got taken. Somebody came and took control.
Yes, basically. I can't remember, 1997, but I think that is when we joined the Montrose Counseling Center.
Oh, gosh.
The 90s. I know it's in the 90s, but I can't remember. Oh,
1997 was the first nighttime parade. Yeah, we were still... Hatch was still an independent organization.
Then it was...
It's just been the last 4 or 5 years that we became part of Montrose Counseling Center. So...
I thought it was in the...
No.
I'll look it up.
The switchboard become part of...
Yes, it is.
Was it before Hatch? Yeah, Switchboard was before Hatch, yeah. Okay, yeah, and Switchboard was right around 1999-2000. And Debbie Patricio was the youth coordinator director for Hatch. And because I go back, yes. Yeah. She did a lot to build Hatch. She sure did. She was amazing. She really was. And then right after she was on, then, of course, Deb came on. Mm-hmm. It's just grown and become even better. But yeah, it's just been the last 4 years or 5 years, because that's whenever I actually joined the MCC board, is when Hatch became a part of MCC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that first woman, what was her name again? Trish
So, Novotny, I believe.
Trish Novotny was the mother of Hatch. Uh-huh. Yes. It was her idea and her...
Trish Kolodny.
You're right.
Kolodny. And she was a big old punk rock girl.
Yes.
Every year, actually, when we do our awards night, we have an award.
Yeah.
And we give out the Trish Kolodny Award and the Neil... I can't remember. He was the father of Hatch. I can't remember what his name is.
Ken?
He passed away a few years ago.
Yeah, it was Ken.
I received that award twice. my wall.
Yeah, I knew him.
Yeah. And each year we honor a person or an organization that has done something for Hatch. We honor our youth and who have been part of our organization, and basically have helped us out through the tough times mm-hmm. and throughout this year. We have one for the steering committee. We have an award for the steering committee. We have a bunch of different awards, but that happens in October. But we do honor these people because they are. Whenever we put it this way, whenever somebody joins Hatch, if they're a first time person, if they're first time and they come and basically. After that, you are part of our family. It doesn't matter if you've only come once in like a 6-year period. Even if you hatch out, you're still allowed to come and you're still allowed to be with our float. The person that we were thinking of was Kevin Davidson. Yeah. And we joined the counseling center in 2002. Yeah. I couldn't remember. But yes.
That's because you need flashcards, Josh.
Hey,
yes, thank you, long-term listener.
Yes. She knows a lot. But long-term listener, you should call Joshua because Joshua needs some help. I need to talk to the long-term listener one of these days about something. But I'm really excited about our prom because this year it's a lot of lights. It's a lot of lights because this year we went out all out on lights. We actually had a professional caterer. Not a professional caterer, but party supply. Donated like $15,000 worth of stuff just for the night.
I think it's $1,500.
My goodness.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's something. Josh is going to the extreme.
I go to the extreme because I think it's fashionable to go to the extreme.
I believe it was $1,500.
Yes, because he is fabulous.
Of course, you always have to do something. If you're going to do something, you have to overdo it. Mm-hmm. Of course. It's better to overdo it than just to be like, huh?
It's a big opportunity for us because we get to showcase our new building and Hatch's new permanent home.
Yes. Right. Yes, exactly.
And as far as I've heard, it's more accessible this year for people who are handicapped and that kind of stuff. It's accessible?
Yes, because the Magnolia Ballroom, while it is great, it is not handicapped accessible for the people who are in wheelchairs. They couldn't go because it wasn't handicapped accessible. But this year, we're happy because one of our facilitators, for a long time, she wanted to go. She wanted to go for a long time, but she couldn't because it wasn't handicapped accessible. But this year, for the first time, she's really excited because she gets to go.
And parking is free.
Of course.
I love Magnolia Ballroom, but it's like $10 to park across the street.
Oh, yes, wow.
Exactly. Wow. But parking's free this year. And the room, the space that we have, it's huge. It's bigger than the Magnolia Ballroom. It's it's this huge conference room. It's like from one end of the building to another. It's absolutely, and it's wall-to-wall windows. So it's quite nice. It's quite nice. But it's going to be at 401 Bernard, and it's going to be on the first floor. And, yeah.
When you get off the elevator, you won't be able to miss it.
Yes, it's going to be right there.
So come one, come all.
Absolutely.
Yes, exactly. If you're over 21, tickets are donations are $25. So, yeah. And right now, I would like to basically give the number to Hatch and basically to MCC and the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard.
So he needs to look in his cell phone to find it.
Yes, for the number to Hatch, if you want to call Hatch, the number is 713-529-3590. And the number for the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard is 713-529-3211. And the number for the Montrose Counseling Center is 713-529-0037. And I'll repeat the Hatch number I'll repeat them all one more time. And the Hatch number is 713-529-3590. And the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard is 713-529-3211. And finally, the Montrose Counseling Center is 713-529-0037. You can also reserve tickets if you call the Hatch number. So.
Oh, do we have the website?
Yes. The website is hatchyouth.org. It's www.hatchyouth.org. And if you have any questions, you're welcome to email at info@hatchyouth.org. And so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Is this the wrap up?
Yes.
Is this the wrap up?
Can somebody get Chris?
Be like me.
Because he's going to do some computer thing. And, you know, I'm a 20th century man.
Okay.
And I don't know which button here to push for that.
Okay. You're like my dad who doesn't know how to use a computer yet.
Well, I do.
Oh, wow, that's better than my dad. My dad sits in front of a computer and looks at the mouse and goes, what am I supposed to do with this?
Oh, no. I'm all about emails and stuff. But
yes. He doesn't know how to do that yet.
Oh, yeah,
We've tried to teach him, but no.
Now, my lover has problems with that. He's older than me, so he's got problems doing it.
How many years is he older than you, Jimmy?
A lot. A lot. Many. Many.
I do want to give a shout out to Ajula. She hasn't been here in a while.
Yes, she hasn't.
She's doing well.
Yes, Aja, if you haven't heard, yes, she's not a part of Hatch anymore.
Okay.
But she's still a member.
Yeah.
No matter what, she's still part of our family.
She just doesn't show. She just doesn't come up.
Yeah.
You know, the Hatch segment, it kind of goes from a couple of people to 10 at a time, down to a couple at a time, to 10 at a time. I never know from month to month, you know, what to expect and who's going to be here. But it's always, always interesting.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
It's always interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I fought hard to get this segment, and I won't let you go away.
Well, I'll be here no matter if I have to work or not.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you. Have fun at the Hatch Prom.
And we'll see you there.
We will.
Absolutely.
Yes.
If you can find a pink tuxedo.
Oh, no, I have an outfit on mine.
Oh, great.
I'll loan you mine.
No.
Like, if you need an outfit. Oh, no.
No. I have the outfit in mind.
Okay.
For
okay.
me.
Oh, okay. Excellent.
Excellent.
Okay. Take care. Now, Chris.
How about putting my mic on?
Yes, let's put your mic on.
Yay.
What are we doing?
I think we have more tickets to give away.
We have another pair of tickets to give away for the... What? What's he doing? I don't know.
I'm just getting things ready.
Okay.
For the True Colors Tour, which will be here on June 21st.
Cyndi Lauper, B-52s, Erasure.
Oh, well, not all of Erasure. It's here in the Houston...
Oh, we're not getting Erasure?
We're getting Andy Bell of Erasure.
Okay, but we're getting Joan Jett in the Black Heart.
I want to see B-52s.
Wanda Sykes.
Oh,
Lily
my God,
Hayden.
Wanda Sykes! Oh, and, I hope she's nasty.
And Carson Kressley.
Oh, well.
Who's that?
This thing from Queer
Eye. From the Straight Guy.
Yeah.
The one who has...
the blonde-haired bitch.
Yeah. One of the few that's gone on to another show. It doesn't involve dogs. You hadn't seen that?
No.
Jay Rodriguez has a new show called Here Comes the Groomer.
Oh, no.
It's on Animal Planet.
Oh, how sweet.
And it's basically a reality show on dog grooming.
Okay. I have known dog groomers.
But
you're not eligible. You're a part of the show.
I know, but I want to go see B-52s, though. Come on, let me go. Come on, give me a
chance. No. Can't. You're part of the show. You can't.
I want to be a
CBC. But that is going to be on June 21st. I'm not sure what time that's going to be. That's up at the Cynthia Woods Mitchell Pavilion.
Mm-hmm.
We've got another pair of tickets. We're going to, once you start to hear the music, it's going to be the third caller.
Oh.
Oh, cool.
And what music might that be?
We actually have the theme song, True Colors.
Oh, do we now?
From her performance on The View back in March. Thank you, YouTube, for not caring about what copyright says.
Yes.
So the third caller at 713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT, as soon as you start to hear Miss Lauper.
emotions, all the fears I know I've left behind. I step out of the ordinary. I can feel my soul ascending. I'm on my way, can't stop.
Follow the tide. After it hits the Broadway stage, the gem, the well of loneliness disappears on the sands. Flashing red lights, crystal night, eight offshore's Olympic might. Put on your pink triangles and put up your hands. Ape, I'm 50s keen, the Kinsey shakes the patch, you're seeing James Dean. Madison, Doris Day, and Harry D. Donald Webster, Corey Wright, Joe McCarthy, picks a fight, J. Edgar Wright, more shame on you. What else do you plan to do? Jorgensen's reborn, daughters of Belitis form, and we have our naked lunch in Giovanni's room. Marilyn, the pictic scene, Jackie's in a Piccini, Vatican II, and something's coming soon. Summer 1969, the heat is rising all the time, and over the rainbow, Judy Garland sleeps. Stonewall Bar, men in blue, heads were broken, bottles flew out of the bars and into the streets. Pride, pride, gotta have pride. Been around too long to keep it inside. Pride, can't sit back and watch from the side. Pride is power and power is pride. It's time to celebrate all the colors of the rainbow. Get out into the streets, follow the tide. Boys in the band play Bette Midler, sang those bathhouse days. Lance loud, gay and proud. Astro Wild bookstore, Sister George Dewsbury. Tales of the city in need of prime village people. Studio 54. Harvey Milk, rough trade. Aaron Fritz, prom day. Grid, torch on trilogy. Boy George, NG, MHC. HIV identified. Rock Hudson, Liberace died. Reagan finally says the word. Bowers versus Harvard's heard. AIDS quilts, act up, Randy Schultz, Queer Nation, Maple Syrup, AZT, Amendment 2, Cracker Barrel, Don't Ask, Don't Tell, HX, Cyber Sex, March on DC, Greg Louganis, Selton, John George Michael, what is going on? Lilith Fair, Rowdy Girls, spend a day at Disney World, Coonan and Scare, the Mick the Case, Ian Allen, Will and Grace, Matthew Shepard, God bless you, what else can we look forward to? Pride, pride, gotta have pride. It's been around too long to keep it inside. Pride, can't sit back and watch from the side. Pride is power and power is pride. It's time to celebrate all the colors of the rainbow. Get out into the streets and follow the tide. Pride, pride, gotta have pride. We've been around too long to keep it inside. Pride, can't sit back and watch from the side. Pride is power and power is pride. It's time to celebrate all the colors of the rainbow. Get out into the streets, follow the tide. Pride.
I hear your voice calling on Debbie. the taller I become. The farther you take my rights away, the faster I will run. You can deny me, you can decide to turn your face away.
Something inside so strong, I know that I can make it. Though you're doing me wrong, so wrong, you felt that my pride was gone. Oh no,
oh no,
there's something inside so strong.
Something inside so strong.
Something inside so strong. Something inside so strong.
The more you refuse to hear my voice, the louder I will sing.
I will sing.
The more you refuse the things I need, the more I want everything. Deny my place in time, you squander wealth that's mine.
My life will shine
so brightly, it will blind you.
Blind you. But there's something inside so strong. Oh, I know that I can make it. Though you're doing me wrong, so wrong, you thought that my pride was gone.
Oh no,
oh no, there's something inside so strong.
Something inside so strong.
Something inside so strong. Something inside so strong.
Brothers and sisters, when they insist we're just not good enough,
not good enough.
What do we do then? We'll look them in the eyes and say, we're gonna do it anyway.
Say, we're gonna do it anyway.
Say,
we're gonna do it anyway.
Say, we're gonna do it anyway. Something inside so strong.
Oh,
I know that I can make it. Though you're doing me wrong, so wrong, you thought that my pride was gone.
Oh no,
oh no, there's something inside so strong.
Something inside so strong.
Oh no, something inside so strong.
Something inside so strong.
Something so strong, it's so
being gay is unnatural. Real Americans always reject unnatural things.
Musical moments right here on After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, right here on KPFT Houston. I'm Jimmy Carper.
I'm Jose. I'm going to be co-piloting here for a little bit.
Yeah, let me tell you what you've heard. We ended that with Judy Garland's Over the Rainbow from the movie Wizard of Oz. And there's some people like, say, Wizard of Ooz, whatever.
But we're not talking about you, Jimmy.
No. Before that, we had Sylvester, Most of You Make Me Feel Mighty Real. And then we had some sort of testicle difficulty there. And I don't know, it kind of ended abruptly. Before that, The Flirtations, Something Inside So Strong, which was a big gay anthem in the late 80s, early 90s by this group. Yeah. And the original song was written by a black man in England, and it was a protest song about the treatment of blacks in that country. The Flirtations covered that song and made it applicable for anyone who's different.
It's kind of the same way that We Shall Overcome.
Yeah, it's very much like that.
Every
very
movement.
Much like that. Yeah. Before that, Nona Hendrix, Through the Wire. That's a kind of an oldie, too. And I wanted to put that in there. It's a song I used to play a lot because it shows the power of radio. and what we bring to you each week.
Yes.
All this queerness. Before that, John Gilbert Levitt with Pride. Heather Small did Proud. And Cyndi Lauper started it out with
True Colors.
Yes, as we gave out another pair of tickets to the True Colors for the True Colors tour.
When is that going to be, Jimmy?
That is going to be June the 21st.
Oh, so they're doing it before Pride this year.
Yes.
Good.
Yes. Yeah. Last year it was like the night of Pride.
I know.
I mean, hello. Who made that decision? That was really dumb.
Well,
dumb.
That's for those people in the Woodlands who couldn't make it down here to the Montrose, I guess.
Hated that. So we've got tickets to give away, and I know I'm going to be going
to that concert.
Yes, I may not be back in time for the show. But...
That's okay.
Yeah, I know. Well, not for the beginning of it, anyway. Okay. And when Chris gets back in here, we're going to start the roundtable. He's doing a little production work in the back. And I want to... since this is June, Pride Month,
yes.
we do a lot of the old stuff. We do a lot of the music that talks about Pride. This is Holly Johnson, lead singer for Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
Yes,
and it's not Relax. It's called Legendary Children, all of them queer. So he's listen to this song, because everybody he talks about in this song. Was gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgendered.
But you promised to leave me out of this.
I did, but, you know. the promise was made in haste.
Aha.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah.
Great, Tchaikovsky, Bernstein, Mahler,
Boy, oh boy. Good God, I can't leave Jimmy alone anymore. He actually played the Pet Shop Boys version.
I know, I haven't heard that in forever, and I've got that at home, too.
Well, we only play it when Jimmy's not here, because way back when, this is one of the few songs that they played, and Jimmy thought it was played to death. So usually, if he wants to play it, he'll play the Village People version, which he doesn't always remember that he has, because it's on the Priscilla.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You know, I actually did a Village People... what's the word I'm looking for? I can't think of the word now. It's gone right out my head. But when I was in the Gay Men's Chorus down there in South Florida, we did a little skit. Oh. We came out looking like monks, because we had an actual monk song playing in the background. And then we took off the monk outfit, and all of us were dressed as... the five of us that went out were dressed as the Village People in their costumes. You know, the Indian, the cop, the sailor, the whole nine yards. Sean, I did the sailor because I had the sailor uniform, an actual one.
Sounds like I need to get you as part of Sister Pig.
That scares me.
That would be interesting.
That statement scares me, considering I don't know what that is.
Sean, get the boy out of your lap and get in here.
Hey, Big Daddy.
No, Sister Pig is the Big Men's group. We do the stuff for Louie.
Oh, okay.
The Sisters of Perpetual Immense Girth.
That still scares me. I don't know why, but it still scares me.
You have to go on YouTube and see the video. It's really good. It really was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Do a search of Louie 2008 Show of Shows on YouTube.
Oh, and
okay. I'll remember to do that when I get home.
Is it still on the Louie website of the Show of Shows?
I don't know. There may be a link on it from louieweekend.com. Hey, I forgot to mention that earlier when we were doing the calendar of events there. one thing about Louie and Louie Weekend is that every year we open up a contest for people to design the pin and the poster used to promote Louie. And right now the contest is open until the third Wednesday in July, which I believe is the 17th. No, 16th. Yeah, Robert will call me because I screwed it up on the poster. Hey, if you see one of the posters, change the day. It's a Wednesday. On that, you can go to the website louieweekend.com to find all of the rules and what you need to create that contest. And we look forward to getting the submissions. I have to remember to do that part of the... My, they're awfully flirtatious out there. All right, it's time for a little bit of roundtable.
It's been that way all night.
Well, do you want me to try and go?
Do we
want to
open with Bill O'Reilly?
Bill O'Reilly received.
No, I'll just take care of that.
He received.
Okay. Merlin's getting them.
Merlin's on the case.
While we're
waiting,
we're gonna crack this open today because I kind of wanted to discuss. You know, it's Pride Month, and I kind of wanted to discuss. You know, that even though yes, we celebrate Pride. There's places around the world that, you know, people can't do that. And I kind of wanted... I found some...
Like Fox News.
Yeah. So, starting here, Bill O'Reilly accepts the Pink Award...
Pink Brick
Award for defaming gays.
Oh, really?
Michaela Connell, president of San Francisco Pride, appeared on the O'Reilly Factor to present him with the group's Pink Brick Award for portraying the LGBT community unfairly. O'Reilly's take on the instances of defamation that Connell presents to him is that the guests he has on his show are free to express their opinions. And when it all comes down to it, the worst thing in the world is a guy in a nun drag asking for communion.
Oh, wow.
Well, hey, we got the whole bunch in here now.
And the funny thing is, they show him here gladly accepting this brick.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
They show him accepting the brick?
Yeah, in fact, we're going to do this.
It looks good.
Hold on, we can do... Come on.
So what are we looking at? What's going on?
Bill O'Reilly receiving...
The pink brick.
His pink brick.
The
pink brick.
Yeah.
It's, it has some writing.
Here we go. Story segment tonight. I, your humble correspondent, have been awarded the pink brick by San Francisco gay, lesbian, transgender group for doing them harm. Since I am perplexed by that point of view, I am pleased to have Michaela Cannell, the president of the group, award me the brick and explain the situation. So you have the brick right here? Is this your,
I have
my
the
award
brick.
Here?
This is your award.
Okay. Very nice. Light. It's not a real brick. It's below the line. All right. Now, what's the beef? What did I do to offend you and your group?
Well, this is a community award, so the community thinks that you have portrayed unfairly the LGBT community, the gay community.
Can you give me a specific on it?
I can give you a bunch of specifics.
All right, give me one. One big one.
One big one. How about your segment on lesbian gangs rampaging across Washington, D.C. with pink pistols?
Yeah, that was Detective Wheeler, Rod Wheeler, who then corrected himself and said, you know, that was a little overblown. And how long ago was that? Do you remember that?
I don't remember.
Yeah, that was 6 years ago, 5 years ago.
Well,
and then we
recently.
When we corrected the story. Okay.
Well, that. Apparently they gave him a heads up on what they were going to be talking about because he was able to research it.
Yes.
Obviously.
But
that's just a little bit from TollRoad.com.
You know, Bill O'Reilly needs a brick.
In the head?
Yeah.
Probably right upside his skull, but, you know.
From about 50 yards away, so it implants itself nicely?
Oh, no. I'm much more of a hands-on kind of person.
Yeah. We know this about you.
I'm a Sicilian. I'm Sicilian, honey.
Marlon, darling, we already know this of you. Come on now. I think all of Houston knows this of you by now.
All right. It's
roll up and brick him. I mean, come on.
As you know, in other places around the world, their pride starts earlier than that. We've got,
I think, San Francisco's this weekend, if I'm correct.
Yeah. I forget where. I think if you go to interpride.org or maybe interpride.com, that'll tell you where all of the
All the events are around the place, all over the planet.
Oh,
cool. Yeah.
Wow.
Some of the biggest ones I know of, like I said, San Francisco, New York.
They were expecting over a million people down at Rio de Janeiro's.
Oh, my God. That wouldn't surprise me. Yeah.
That'd be fun. That would be interesting.
See, you just got to love that a place that Rio de Janeiro gets a million people or more, you know.
They know a good time.
But then they have, like,
they don't call it Pride.
They also have a couple of 100,000 people involved in the event, in the parade itself.
But you got to remember, though, is down there they don't call it Gay Pride. They call
Carnival.
Carnival.
Well, it's part of it. You know, it's like their Mardi Gras.
It's kind of like Southern Decadence over in New Orleans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd hopefully get laid, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
I was there, but
I'm sure a lot of people... I think we could all chip in to get you a one-way ticket down to Rio.
Notice the one-way.
Yeah.
One-way ticket. Thank you.
All right. Moving on. What we got next on the agenda, Chris?
I just want to know how much do we have to pay him to wear the leather bottom half of that?
Oh!
Anyhow.
I'll take pictures later.
Okay. I hope we're not talking about virgin still.
No, we're not. We're talking about this.
Okay,
right
guys, your mics are open. Remember that.
Okay. Moscow Gay Pride once again had its little problems. It was not an official Pride parade. The mayor, Yuri Lutskov,
Say that five times real fast.
I think he'll appear and, you know, it's like Candyman. the annual Pride demonstration has been outlawed. Lutskov, who has dubbed gay pride events as Satan's work.
Wow.
Reflecting a strain of Russian society that remains suspicious of liberal values.
Goodness.
Police spokesman told AFP, which I think is Agence France Press, 36 people have been arrested at the event in which Russian Orthodox and far-right opponents hurled eggs at gay activists. Well, you know, there's worse things to go through.
Well, yeah, and they were also punching a gay man to the ground, too. Those arrests were mainly opponents of the Pride event rather than any gay activists. Go figure!
Right.
The demonstrators started with 25 people gathering at the statue of the 19th century Russian composer Pyotr Tchaikovsky. Widely considered to have been gay. They came to bow before this great composer, the most symbolic place in the capital.
This is the guy who did the Nutcracker, after all. I mean,
yeah.
That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah. The original S&M.
Yeah.
Wow. Then we had the Pride Parade in... Well, not a Pride Parade, a regular parade in...
Western Days in Idaho.
In Twin Falls, Idaho. Each year, Twin Falls, Idaho holds a Western Day Parade featuring floats from local community businesses and groups. And until this year, banned local gays and lesbians from having their own float, citing the area's conservative religious and family values.
Quote, unquote.
This year, they allowed them to participate.
Yay.
Do you hear that? The Irish and Italians up in New York? Mm. They allowed them to participate.
Yeah, hello.
However,
with one stipulation.
Party. Of course, there's always that.
The float could have nothing on it that identified the group as gay or lesbian.
Oh, then why the hell have the float anyway?
Why the hell
anyway?
Were there people on it?
Why not just send a piece of cardboard down through there?
Right. Was this like the fanfare pomp and circumstance version of Don't Ask, Don't Tell?
Well, basically.
More or less.
Tens of thousands of people line the streets to see high school bands, firefighters, local business, and other groups that are easily identifiable, with just one exception. A float carries a big question mark. Because the Pride Committee only let the Southern Idaho Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, Transgender Community Center participate if they didn't make any reference to sexual orientation or gender identity. No rainbow, no colors, no flyers. They didn't want us in at all, member Mitch Sylvester told today's 6 News. I don't know if they would let us in to relieve some pressure that they got put on them by the media or other influences last year. The only people vocally supporting the group was a group of high school students, which were promptly corrupted.
You know, it's June. It's June. It's the one month you can count on there being queer news, you know, of any consequence.
Okay, I have a question.
Oh, God.
Fire away.
Another one?
No, someone asked about, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about a picture book of celebrity pictures.
Venuses.
Yes.
Ew,
what was that?
That was the one that was due out on my birthday, which was last week.
What was the book? Celebrity penises?
Something about that, showing you how hung people are.
I want to see that.
Okay, just for the record, every time they do something like that, it's usually some of the...
worst pictures you can find?
You know, least provocative... pictures.
And it makes you wonder how they got the pictures in the first place.
Well, some of them it says, you know, are because they talk about the Dan Radcliffe pictures.
Yeah.
They're
fake ones.
Yeah.
Celebrity.
And then there's that happy little word that's become poison these days. Paparazzi.
Yes, that too.
Celebrity penis coffee book.
And obviously, you know, most of these pictures have to be doctored. Mm. Photoshop.
It's amazing what you can do with Photoshop these days.
Yeah, it's amazing how many people lose about 500 pounds with Photoshop.
What?
We were talking about photoshopping pictures.
Yeah, something about losing 500 pounds. I, as part of the Big Men's Club, am required to give you a dirty look.
It was nothing directed at you, Chris.
I know, because that's actually... Oh, table.
We enjoy coffee. You the way you are, Chris.
He just there got a go. Big old cuddly teddy bear.
It was Nate Berkus?
No, wait a minute. Nate Berkus, that was...
Who's he?
He's the designer.
He's Oprah Winfrey's...
He's Oprah Winfrey's interior designer.
Yeah,
well. He's the guy whose boyfriend died in the tsunami, and they made a big deal out of it.
Okay. Oh, really?
I don't know where it's...
And he's...
I'll have to find it later for
and
Jimmy.
And he's really kind of cute.
Yeah, we were... Well, where did we want to go next?
Let me pull that other... That story I was talking about. I got to go to a dirty website to find it.
Dirty.
Shame on you.
I got to find it for you later. It was the wrong one.
Oh, there's one.
Oh, that wasn't the right one?
No.
Oh, no shirt. Hey, I'll be back.
Just saying, I'm trying to find this other news story that...
we almost had
that little
it.
Mark? Yeah. Cute. Tell him to come in here and give me a hug.
It's a celebrity penis book.
Bootlayer.
It's not a pop-up book. Let it rest.
I want
to. Here we go.
Go away.
Go back in there.
A couple of interesting stories here from a different World Web source here. Is amateur porn setting us back? From professional amateur sites to XTube. And I know we've got some experts here on XTube, so...
I know nothing about it.
Like everyone here with a penis.
Okay. Now, this is from a Canadian site, so I may have to say A in here a couple of times. At this year's Taste of Life event, a volunteer came around to our table, barely out of his teens, and explained to us that he contracted HIV because his generation wasn't being educated about it. On the surface, it's a bit of a shock. I'm of the generation that grew up just as medications were starting to become effective, before HIV/AIDS became a chronic condition. But surely the youth of today must know about it. How can they not when HIV awareness campaigns are always going on? Except they're not. Sex education programs in Canada, while still kilometers ahead of the abstinence-only fiasco in the States, still has a long way to go before we can get proper sexual education.
Okay.
Look at Quebec, where they've just pulled a classroom time for sex ed in lieu of a holistic approach, where it can be discussed in any class. The translation, of course, is that sex, especially gay sex, won't be discussed because people, not at least of all students, are too uncomfortable to bring it up.
Yeah, brother.
Let's see. So if not in schools, where else do we get our sexual education? Well, the time-honored tradition for gay men is to pick up some tips from porn. And for a while, there's always been a real sense of responsibility in porn studios when it comes to showing people wearing condoms while FCCing. But there's been a noticeable backlash in that market. For one, there are more studios producing bareback porn than ever before, citing market demand. No matter how many warning labels they slap across these boxes, it sends an unfortunate message about unprotected sex. It's not just that these studios are cropping up. It's especially persuasive in the amateur porn industry that has blossomed on the internet, from, quote, professional, unquote, amateur sites, to the phenomenon of xtube.com. with everybody uploading their homemade goodies. Don't get me wrong. There is something democratizing about amateur porn.
Oh, yeah.
What sites like XTube and LifeOut offer is different from the images we are fed by the studios.
LifeOut?
It's a new networking site.
We'll be checking that one out later. Or even professional amateur sites, which still sell us our own insecurity via straight boy fantasy. In amateur settings, the social responsibility for showing safer sex is noticeably lax. It's also incredibly exploitive. Because while many of the studios that produce bareback porn test their performers for HIV beforehand, which is a pretty shaky guarantee to begin with, these amateur productions don't. They usually offer performers an extra couple hundred of bucks and call it even. But that kind of behavior is even more loathsome.
And the hospitals just better get ready for the next wave.
Yes, unfortunately. This is going to be big when it finally drops. I hate to say it.
Yep.
This is not going to be anything pretty. This is going to be 1991 all over again.
Yep, Park Plaza can reopen that wing.
Mm-hmm. This was, as I said, it was from Squirt, but it links over to a site called extra.ca, and it's xtra.ca for Canada.
Hmm.
And it was an interesting story that I saw about that, you know.
And this was, who that wrote this?
Dale Smith.
Okay.
Who's the author of this. You know, we talk about porn on here. We talk about safe sex. We talk about unsafe sex. We talk about, you know, a lot of stuff on here. And it's an argument I hadn't heard before of saying that the amateur internet is possibly causing a spread.
Yeah.
Of HIV/AIDS, so I thought it was something interesting to bring up and talk about, because they talk about so many different things of where we're going with.
What?
I wasn't looking at you. I'm having to be facing forward.
I swear to God, you were looking at me.
Anyhow,
was I retching? No. Just about.
Ow! Burn. Anyway,
I love you too, Chris.
So, you know. As an HIV-positive person, I see those movies on the walls of places, and it makes me cringe.
Yeah.
I don't know where it was, but I heard some statistic about a lot of the performers ending up positive within a year of starting to do those movies. I'm sorry. It's you know, I realize people are desensitized to it. I mean, we've lived in the age of AIDS. There's a whole generation which has now gone from birth to adulthood.
Yeah.
Not being within the age of AIDS. And on some level, it's obviously the, you know, just don't do it method, you know, doesn't work. It's like, you know, it's like abstinence only things and whatever. They don't work. Yeah. And I'm sorry, we're about to get, and we're all, and it seems to me, and I'm, you know, I'm an eternal optimist on a great many things. But I have this grand fear that we are going to have to get ready for another death wave, you know, that we're going to have to start burying people again.
Now, the bad part is I've got to see if I can find the article on this. I don't remember if it was Toll Road or Drudge. I had this. We had a story coming out of Salt Lake City in which a teacher has been suspended, I believe, for deviating from the sex education curriculum that's allowed, including discussions of masturbation and homosexuality. And the kids are supporting the teacher, saying the teacher didn't bring it up. We asked these questions. We wanted to know. And
yeah.
Let's see. I think here we go. Here's the...
And if the kids want to know...
Yeah. A recent incident in a Jordan school district shows the state laws on sex education are too narrow and ought to be changed, but not in the way one lawmaker proposes. A Republican, go figure, would make answering questions, students' questions, a criminal offense.
Huh?
This came up because a health teacher at Fort Harriman Middle School reportedly answered questions about topics such as homosexuality, oral sex, and masturbation. The teacher has been suspended, and the district is investigating. Until that inquiry is finished and made public, it is difficult to know precisely what happened, but the controversy has focused attention on state law, which establishes standards on sex instruction, including the part requiring teachers to stress, quote, the importance of abstinence from all sexual activity before marriage, and fidelity after marriage as methods for preventing certain communicable diseases and personal skills that encourage individual choice of abstinence and fidelity, unquote.
And what diseases do you get from masturbation?
Well, I don't know, but...
Carpal tunnel?
What the carpal tunnel.
Hairy palms?
Warts,
Hairy palms?
You need to say that again. You know, this is Utah where, you know, when they talk about fidelity in marriage, which wife are they discussing?
Yeah,
right,
hello.
Exactly.
Now comes the difficult part. At no time may instruction be provided, including responses to spontaneous questions raised by students regarding any means or methods that facilitate or encourage the violation of any state or federal criminal law by an adult or minor. Unquote. The reference covers instructions on such materials as contraception and condom use. Okay, I don't believe there's a federal or state criminal law about contraception and condom use.
No, there's not.
No,
not that I've heard.
If there
of.
Is, we're entering a very scary
day and age.
Day and age, because what we're going to have is a lot of ignorance, not only in the classroom, but also on the streets.
Yeah, I mean, you know, condoms are not 100% effective, you know. Something would have, you know, wish we'd taken care of those dumb pricks up in Washington, but, you know, those condoms wouldn't work on them. I can say prick on the air, can I?
Yes, you can.
Okay. I was wondering, because I was watching TV earlier today, and it's like, it's weird the way they were editing the, you know, you can say you're sucking a knob, but you couldn't say BJ.
Yeah.
But then later on, they couldn't say knuckle or finger.
Well, in the old days, you could say, Dick pricked his finger, but you couldn't say Dick fingered his prick.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right. That clears that up.
Well, then. Hey, we're all going to give another week's month's vacation.
Yeah. You know, you know, how do I put this?
I love it when we get to this stuff here. It's
my you know, my parents buried three of their children. Does anybody know that, if there are any parents out there who listen to this show, can you even begin to imagine what that is like? You keep going on with the abstinence only and the you can't teach this and you can't teach that stuff.
Or you can't answer this question.
Or you can't answer this question.
In the classroom.
Yeah. Go ahead. Because get ready to bury your children.
Yeah. I have to agree. Because, I mean, in this day and age, I mean, who hasn't heard of HIV AIDS?
Right.
Who doesn't know what it does to the human body? Yeah. I mean, I personally am a negative person, but I have had many, many, many friends that were HIV positive and beyond. I've actually seen one spend so much time in the hospital because he was so sick from it all. Last time I heard, he was in the hospital. I don't know if he's passed on or not, because that was right after I moved from Florida. And how can you not go around and not know what to do to protect yourself from this stuff?
A friend of mine came up positive just this week. Mm. In the last week.
I mean, every time you do it, you know you should be knowing the risk that you're taking.
Well, you know, some people will look at that risk and go, okay.
Exactly.
And, mm-hmm. you know, I have to say this, that's part of your choice.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely.
That is your, you know, just as much you have the will to do.
Yeah,
but to not teach our children.
That's the bad part, because also what we're seeing nowadays is because of how long we've been through this idiocy of the ABCs of sexual education. You know, abstinence first, be faithful, and condoms when only when necessary. That you start getting these kids doing these abstinence pledges, you start getting them, you know, father and daughter go to a purity ball and all this other crap that they do. Then when the girl who's so pro-abstinence decides she's going to do something, she doesn't have a condom around.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, her boyfriend who's also part of the abstinence thing, he doesn't have a condom around.
And they don't know any better.
And you see the greatest increase in teen pregnancies and teen sexual transmitted diseases in people in the abstinence movement.
Yep. I mean, I'm all for abstinence. And I'm all for teaching kids abstinence. Wait until you're old enough and responsible enough. But at the same time that you're teaching them that abstinence is your best policy, at least teach them, if they're going to make the decision, if they think that they're wise enough to make the decision, to at least protect themselves.
Right.
It gets me, because I've been listening to those abstinence pledge things for couple of years now. It's been a big deal, and I've also been hearing the statistic that says that more than 80% or more of the people who take those pledges, that flies out the window within a year
before the ink's even dry. Sometimes
before the ink is dry on the paper. And I'm like, You want your children to do something which is not by nature, by pure human nature, physical, biological human nature, not normal.
Well, unfortunately, it comes down to the hypocrisy of generations.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, these parents who at least our generation. Or the older generation of us that's in here. Our parents were of the free love, free drugs, free everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then as their hair started to fall out, so did their liberalism.
Mm-hmm.
And
Democrats when they're young, Republicans when they get old.
Mm-hmm. You know? And it's, they get to the point, my father had hair down to his ass.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked for a company that, you know, did defense contracts work during Vietnam. And so whenever they came to visit, he was shooed away or physically locked in a supply closet till they left, because they didn't want to see the hippie there. And as his hair fell out, so did his liberalism. And now, right now, he, you know, looks to his left to see Rush Limbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
Does he shake hands with him when he does that, too?
Oh, I mean, you know, this is a person who still has the Woodstock album, but it doesn't believe in the beliefs of it anymore.
Right.
And that's what we're starting to see is, you know, do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah.
Or did.
And, you know.
Yes.
It's amazing to me how parents, when they become parents, and they... That somewhere in their head there's this switch that completely shuts off all memory, all appearance of their past and some of the stuff they pulled. You know.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And all of a sudden, and it's out of the idea, and I'm sure it's out of the idea that, you know, I don't want my kid to do what I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, but your kid's gonna do that. No, because they're being taught the same thing their parents were being taught at the same age by other kids their age.
Exactly.
And when you're getting your information from this people your age in that age group, you're getting garbage.
More or less. Garbage in, garbage out.
I do agree with this part is you there has to be some sort of responsibility on what you're doing. And yes, definitely, parents teach your children the values and the morals and the beliefs that you feel they need.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to understand that they're going to hear another side of the story. Mm-hmm. They're going to hear something that you may not agree with. And give them the tools to look and to listen and to learn and balance what they hear.
And make a wise decision, at least.
Yeah. And don't
make
just...
an informed decision.
Yeah, you don't just...
That too.
Yeah, you just don't say no.
Yeah.
Don't say no and say, because I said so.
Yeah.
The never
because mind. Because I said so isn't worth the paper it's written on.
Yeah.
Especially with everything that's going on these days.
No.
And that just doesn't cut it anymore.
You have to also bring into play the advance of technology... Mm-hmm. Since our parents were around, and since we've been around even, you know, there are ways around the, you know, abstinence only, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, we're talking about the technology today. You had the story coming out of one of the suburban school districts where some of the girls took naked pictures of themselves on the cell phones and sent them to their boyfriends, and the boyfriend sent them out to everyone else.
Santa Fe.
Yeah, you know.
Brilliant. Brilliant in an age where, you know, everything you do is somewhere on the internet.
Yeah.
5 minutes after you've done it.
Yeah. Privacy is not privacy anymore.
There is no privacy on that level anymore. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Yeah.
Anything in that has a camera nowadays, which is just about everything.
The only way that you can be guaranteed the privacy that we knew as we were growing up as kids is to pull the plug out of the wall, turn off the cell phone, and throw it all in the garbage.
Or go to a desert island and hope Survivor doesn't show up.
That too. I mean, the internet has been, I'm sure... on some level, it's both been a great tool for kids being a hell of a lot more informed about a lot of things than their parents were, you know, because their parents didn't have the internet.
And a world of...
And yet, it's also, on balance, I mean, the other balance is they're also seeing a lot more of the ugly.
Oh, yeah.
That... You
the
know.
Internet's a tool.
Yeah.
Just like a hammer,
mm-hmm.
just like a saw.
Yeah.
You can use it for how it's intended, and it's useful, it's beneficial, it builds things up. Or you can turn around and use a hammer to cave someone's head in or a saw to cut an arm off.
Mm-hmm.
It can be used for evil as well. You just have to know how to use it and respect what you're using as a tool.
Right.
And that's the thing, is, you want to talk about censoring what's on the net and all that, censoring what's on television, censoring what's on the radio, you know, and it comes down to what I've said is, you know, teach your children what you want them to believe
And so that when they go next door to Little Johnny's and Little Johnny's parents say, hey, you know, it's okay to you to watch this, your child knows enough to say, my mommy doesn't want me to see that. I'm going home. You know, or I shouldn't be clicking on those websites.
Teach them what you want them to believe, but also let them know what they're going to encounter out there. Because you send them out there blind to what is out there.
It
and,
happened to me.
You know?
It's going to be a disaster when you do that.
It's a disaster waiting for happen.
It was... I managed to pull myself back from the edge, but it was scary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, years of chasing after instant gratification got pretty...
ugly.
Pretty ugly after a while, you know? And I see a lot of guys doing that today, even. They chase that instant gratification that, you know, like an addict looking for a fix. And it's frightening to see how much worse it's gotten, you know, since I've been out. You know.
Every time somebody I know who is anywhere between 17 and 25 comes to me, who is a friend of mine, or, you know, acquaintance of mine, and they come up and they tell me, guess what I found out today? And it's like somebody shoves a claw in your chest.
Yes.
Because it didn't have to happen if they had just known, if they had just been aware, if they had just been made aware of just how dangerous.
The strange thing is this, you know, I mean, they must have understood the risk a lot because they knew enough to go get tested.
Yeah.
They had to have known.
That's, you know, that's at least the silver lining, albeit thin, is the fact that they know.
Yeah.
When you think of how many teens, how many people out there have no clue.
There's that. Some of them. And one person who didn't know until until they were admitted to the hospital with pneumonia.
Yeah.
That's someone that's just not taking care of themselves.
And that's how they found out they were sick.
I mean,
with
come on.
Something more serious than pneumonia.
Yeah,
exactly.
So,
I want to get a little follow-up on one of the stories we talked about last week, the obscenity trial in Florida. He was convicted on half of the counts, 10 out of the 20 counts for mailing obscene material.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I remember that.
Max Hardcore case.
So half of them he got convicted on?
Yeah. And some of the jurors were saying, you know, we really didn't want to convict him, but the law said we had to. Apparently, they didn't believe in jury nullification.
But, obviously.
he's looking at, I think it's like a year in jail and $250,000 in fines.
Woo. Wow.
He's going to be broke for a while.
And the company is, I think, was another $250,000 in fines. The good part is he gets to keep his house.
Whoa,
the government tried to take his house.
At least I'll have a place to stay after he gets out of jail.
Well, how was it managed? How did he manage that one?
The jury decided not to give the government the house.
Ah.
Part of the forfeiture laws is what they were trying to get it for, you know.
Yeah.
He received the house by ill-gotten gain, so we're going to take his house.
Wow.
Where do we want to go next, Chris?
I don't know.
Oh, let's see. We've got
we got a few minutes left.
How about something? How about something a little more lightening?
Oh,
yeah. Please tell me there's some good news out there.
Well, yes. They built a monument to the Jews who are persecuted.
No, not the Jews. There's a gay Holocaust memorial that was here. Give me the clip.
Gay Holocaust.
It's
called a mouse. Chris.
Gays.
It's called a mouse.
Yeah. I'll call the clicker if I want to. Damn it.
That's what you do to change channels on your TV.
Well, Chris, you go ahead and call it a clicker.
Germany inaugurated a concrete memorial to honor the thousands of homosexuals persecuted by Nazis. It's a 4-meter-high monument with has a window showing a film of two men kissing.
Wow. That actually sounds nice because, I mean, I actually spent a few days over in Germany. And they're pretty liberal over there, actually.
Well, it was inaugurated by the gay mayor of Germany.
They are now, and they were before Hitler got there.
Well, and way back in the day, too, because Germany at one point did have a king, and it was they actually had one gay king in all that time, too, and built several houses, actually.
Which one of you has the electronic equipment over there?
Turn off your vibrator.
You cannot use that thing while wearing the headphones.
Oh, there's a cute little thing on, you can go to Toller Road here. Nathan Lane was visiting the cast of Xanadu.
The queen of the gays?
And there's a little video of him, and basically there's a lot of half-naked men going around in that.
Imagine that.
Ooh, what a shock.
And Nathan Lane, come on.
Yeah. See, celebrity marriage news.
Xanadu, living proof of how bad a movie can be and still be a classic.
Wow. Well, the whole premise behind it is they're saying Xanadu is too gay to win a Tony.
Is that possible? Come on.
Wow.
I don't buy that for a minute.
With everything that's been out there... Is this too gay?
I don't buy that.
The producers?
Hello?
Lakaj.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
So, let's see. In celebrity wedding news there, George Takei will be marrying his partner.
Yay.
They're getting that taken care of quickly. They're Scottish bagpipes will play... Scottish bagpipes will play during the ceremony, and a Mexican-American Buddhist minister would officiate.
Wow! This wedding's becoming more PC by the minute.
They have ordered matching Native American turquoise and silver rings, and the wedding dinner will feature fusion Japanese-Mexican cuisine.
How interesting.
The wedding party will be populated by fellow Star Trek actors.
With an after-dinner aperitif of Rolaids.
The best man is going to be Walter Koenig, Chekhov from Star Trek.
Kirk hasn't been invited.
Yes. The matron of honor will be Lieutenant Uhura.
Yes.
And Leonard Nimoy and his wife will be... Captain Kirk's been left off the list.
Oh, yep. No surprise there.
But in other wedding news, T.R. Knight and his boyfriend are not going to be getting married anytime soon. And Rosie O'Donnell and Kelly Carpenter are going to wait to renew their vows legally after, I guess, the Supreme Court makes their decision on whether or not it stays through, that it's going to stay on there. Now, this is a surprising thing. For those of you who saw the movie High School Musical, the gay character on there, played by Lucas Grable, also has a part in Gus Van Sant's movie Milk, about Harvey Milk.
Oh.
Lucas had to officially announce on his website that he's straight.
See,
he must be a damn
straight.
Good actor, because I saw him in High School Musical 1.
Is he the one that's wearing the hat?
Yes. Okay. He's the one who does the wonderful impersonation of Michael Jackson at the end of High School Musical number 1.
Okay, I have to see that one.
Yeah, except he's a little darker to play Michael Jackson.
Is that Michael Jackson today or Michael Jackson back in 1980?
Today.
You've heard that joke.
No, only in America.
Only in America.
Can a black man go white?
No.
But, you know, it's... I know that a lot of you will not understand until you're older that in the film industry as an actor you play roles. What that means is you completely embody another person and become someone you're not. I'm not Ryan Evans. I'm not Kelly Kuzo from Veronica Mars. I'm not Lex Luthor. I'm Lucas. Damn it.
Lex Luthor?
I don't know where he gets that from. But when I go to work, just like your parents go to work every day, I assume the character of who I'm playing and create a story for people to enjoy. In the movie Milk, I play a homosexual. That doesn't mean that I am gay. Sean Penn, one of the greatest actors of our generation, is playing Harvey Milk, a gay character. But he is married to Robin Wright Penn, Princess Bride, if you haven't seen that movie yet, see it. Yes. Most people in this movie are straight men playing gay men. Emil Hirsch, he's got a cute ass. James Franco and Diego Luna are just a few. This is what he had to write on his blog.
I mean, oh, for crying out
loud. Oh, for heaven's sake.
I like this part here. Now, Tola Road puts on their little thing. Now, perhaps Grable is reacting this way because of speculation among his fans or in the media about his sexuality. I don't know. He could certainly learn a few things from his High School Musical castmate, Zac Efron, who in his Details cover story and interview handled the same situation better than most actors he's seen. He said, you know, because Zac Efron came out saying, you know, I don't care if they think I'm gay.
I mean, yeah. That's the whole point. I mean,
but then again, that's probably also why he leaked the pictures of his castmate there to show that, you know.
I mean, why couldn't we just stop at, no, I'm not gay? I mean, because, as we all know, 99% of the cast of, say, Queer as Folk was not
There's
gay.
Only two gay characters.
There were only two gay people on that show.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
At least of the main cast.
Or those who have come out, you know, or like what Hal Sparks' famous line was of afterwards says, you know, my father starts saying, you know, look how great of an actor it is. People actually think he's gay.
No, Dad. He was actually gay.
I don't know. He took it quite well. Yeah. I don't mean the father. I meant Hal Sparks. Oops.
Of course, so did the guy that played opposite Justin.
We certainly are.
Zydeco Pasade will be up in just a moment.
They are here.
It is, once again, don't forget, we are in the beginning of Pride Month.
Yay!
Woo! Get ready.
30 years of Pride.
Get ready for the...
40 years in your case.
Hit him when this mic is off. Really hard.
Get ready for, don't forget, the Pride Parade on June 28th and the After Pride Parade unofficial party here at the station where we talk about the parade and we go into our Stonewall commemorations.
Yeah.
But let's put the PSAs in your ear and get you ready. Zydeco Pasale, this is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude.
KPFT has just completed its Spring 2008 membership drive. If you are one of the many listeners who joined this drive, thank you very much. Your contribution goes a long way to bringing you the great programming you've come to enjoy. Before you know it, your membership envelope will arrive in the mail. Don't forget to pay your pledge. The great feeling you get when you support KPFT feels even better once you drop that check in the mail. And if you missed your chance to join and support the news, music, and other great programming you hear each day, there's still time. Join online at kpft.org to do your part, or call 713-526-4000 to make a pledge. Thanks again for your support. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored, Pacifica Radio, KPFT, Houston.
Juneteenth celebrates the abolition of slavery. It was on his arrival in Galveston on June 19, 1865, 2 months after the end of the Civil War, when Major General Gordon Granger proclaimed, "All slaves are free." KPFT and Houston Institute for Culture invites you to celebrate a Gulf Coast Juneteenth at Miller Outdoor Theater on Thursday, June 19th at 7 p.m. The free concert will feed...
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.